what's happening. I'm going to be on Worldwide Iranian TV via audio. We're visual on our side, live at PrisonPlanet.tv. They just called. The show starts about 4 or 5 after. So they're going to be calling back in the next few minutes. And then I will air them live here, and then they will take control of the interview for this simulcast. And so you'll hear whatever background news is going on, and then as the guest will be interviewed, I will be in the interviewee position here on air. Okay? And so for stations out there, the ads will still play. You just won't be able to hear what's going on Iranian TV. But John will take control from there. And, John, I'm going to turn down the ISDN once that happens so that you can be in control from Minnesota. So I'm in Texas. The Genesis Network is in Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're in Burnsville, a suburb to be precise. And we're going to be talking to International Press TV out of London, England, which is satellited back into Tehran. And this is English language, so you'll be able to understand them as soon as they call. And I agreed to do this today. I've said no a few other times because it's always on gold or oil or government terrorism or other subjects. Today it's on U.S. elections, who could win, what happened to third parties, U.S. electoral system, how democratic, the future of U.S. and world under John McCain or Obama, what's at stake, Bush legacy. So that is what we're going to be discussing today on Iranian International Television. And Press TV is on some U.S. cable and satellite systems. Again, it is also on around the world. So that is coming up. And again, you'll be able to watch it all uninterrupted at PrisonPlanet.tv. I have to multitask a lot with what I do to be able to maximize getting the word out. Would I love to go speak in your city or go speak in England or go speak in Croatia or Russia or Japan as I've been invited? Would I love to be able to take my children to the Pacific Northwest and see whales, as my wife dreams of doing? Yes. But every day I can sit here in the bunker, reading, researching, doing radio interviews, doing TV interviews, and having a huge effect. And so that's why I'm doing this, and that's why I can't come up to say Kansas City, KCXL, invited me up there to speak to crowds. Last time I was there, it was about 1,000 people. I can't do the things I want to do because we are affecting the biggest amount of change here over AM and FM, over the interviews I'm doing, over PrisonPlanet.tv, and with all of you that are taking the audio of this show and putting it all over the Internet, on the file-sharing networks, everywhere else. Okay, I'm ready to go ahead and go to them. Hello?
Hello, this is Gil from Press TV. How do you do, sir, Mr. Jones?
I am good. I am ready to go live, so I sit here awaiting whenever you guys are ready to go to me.
Yes, the show just started in 4 minutes, sir, so you're ready, I think, but I want to have your brief sound check as usual. So is it okay with you, sir?
Absolutely. I didn't quite make
out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So could you please start counting from 1 to 10 very slowly, sir? Please.
Sure. It's 10. It's 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you. Thank you. And something else, I put you through the studio. There's the news brief. If you can hear, let me know, sir. Thank you.
Government from power, unless it's held a direct talk on his demand.
Sounds good.
Could you?
Sounds very good.
Perfect. Perfect. So you're ready for our show. Have a great question. Good luck.
Okay. And you were asking if I could be in studio for a video interview on Wednesday. I want to make sure you guys know I'm happy to do that.
Wow, perfect, perfect. So if you want, you can talk with Shida, okay?
Okay.
Our coordinator. So please.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Alex Jones, hi, sir.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on your show.
Hi, thank you. Well, you know, we're so happy for having you on the show. Not just me, like everybody here is so happy. And the other day I was talking to Mr. Trey, and then I was telling him how wonderful you are and how we really appreciate your being on our show. Thank you very much.
Well, absolutely. I'm happy to do it. I'm sorry.
Thank you. We really enjoy your
Are you sick and tired of spending your hard-earned money to fill your gas tank? Then do something about it.
Fuel Savers Fuel Conditioner lets you drive further on each gallon of fuel. Completely safe for all engines. Just add a small squeeze of product to your tank each time you fill up to improve your fuel economy 10 to 20% or more, saving you 35 to 80 cents on every gallon. Each little 2-ounce squeeze bottle is highly concentrated and costs only $8 to treat 100 gallons of gas or 50 gallons of diesel. Buy a case and the price drops to a mere $6 per bottle with free shipping. Be one of the first 10 orders and get an additional 10% off your case purchase. That's $5.40 to treat 100 gallons of gas. Call toll-free 866-768-7811 or get more information at fuelsaverinc.com. First 10 orders, save 10% on a case purchase. Act now to save on fuel. 866-768-7811. Call now.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Here's a startling fact. The New World Order wants you dead. Chemicals and toxins are in the air. Biowarfare, drugs and unknown substances. Foods with no vitamins. Fast food for obesity. Fluoride in our water. How do we fight back? What do we do? Make a life change decision. Get ahead of the curve. GetTheT.com. That's GetTheT.com. Cleanse your body and internal organs. Lose weight and receive more energy. Get aboard the life change boat and say no to the dark side. All natural, and for about $1 a day, you can win the race. GetTheT.com or call our friendly operators 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Don't be deceived by the bullies of the trade.
On the air. First, as always, we start with a quick check on the Bitcoin. Bitcoin call.
McCain and Obama in frantic mode during final sprint for votes. McCain and Obama embark on last-ditch tours of swing states. Presidential candidates make appeals in key states. Candidates sprint towards finish line. Obama is up, and fans fear that jinxes it. Obama leads McCain in 6 of 8 key states. Obama in command on eve of U.S. vote. World closely watching U.S. presidential election. U.S. election.
Stop and track the fine print. We're joined from London by Dr. James Boyce, Assistant Professor of International Political Studies at Richmond, the American International University. London and founder of the Resolute Group from Austin, Texas. We're joined by Wayne Slater, author and senior political writer with the Dallas Morning News, co-author of Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential. By the phone, we're joined from Austin, Texas, again by Alex Jones, investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker, owner of Infowars.com. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. But straight to our first pick, Agence France-Presse, Obama in command on eve of U.S. vote. Barack Obama stooped on the threshold of history on Monday as polls gave the Democrats a solid lead over John McCain on the last day of campaigning for the most dramatic U.S. presidential vote in a generation. But McCain, who has no room for error in the tense battle for a handful of toss-up states, vowed to confound the pollsters and wrench victory from the African-American Obama's grasp on Tuesday. The 47-year-old Democrat stressed the historic nature of his quest to be America's first black president, striking an optimistic tone as fresh polls gave him a wide lead and heaped further pressure on McCain. He said, quote, "This is a defining moment in our history," Obama wrote in an article published Monday in the Wall Street Journal. "Tomorrow, I ask you to write our nation's next great chapter. If you give me your vote, we won't just win this election together. We will change this country and change the world." McCain, a 72-year-old former prisoner of war in Vietnam, was defiant. "My opponent," he said, quote, "is measuring the drapes at the White House," he said, as he wrapped up a frenzied day of campaigning with a midnight rally in Miami. "The Mac is back," he said, quote, "and we're going to win this election." And, of course, the polls give it all to Obama. A new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll put Obama ahead 51% and 43%. CNN's latest poll on Sunday had Obama with a 53-46% edge. Washington Post ABC News poll gave him 54% to 43%. Rasmussen said he was at 51% and McCain 46%. So let's go straight to Texas. Wayne Slater, take a look at your crystal ball. What do you see?
Well, I think the polls really indicated Barack Obama's year. I just got off the plane. I spent almost a week with Barack Obama, before that a week with John McCain. And the Obama campaign is very, very confident. What we're seeing here is a remarkable, not only campaign by Barack Obama, if he happens to win tomorrow, and I think the expectations are he probably will, but we're seeing a redefinition of who votes for Democrats in America. Barack Obama is actually winning right now in some southern states, something that no one has done and no Democrat has done since 1976, when Jimmy Carter, a fellow southerner, won. You see Barack Obama challenging in a state like North Carolina, part of the Old South, where 40% of the registered voters have already voted. Most of them are Democrats. And if Barack Obama wins there and in Virginia, as well as the other states that he's expected to pick up, it not only will be a victory for the first African-American, an historic victory, but also a rather astonishing reconfiguration of the electoral map, which shows that the South, long Republican territory, might become part Democrat territory starting tomorrow.
Writers agrees with you. Obama leads McCain in 6 of 8, a key state. Democrat Barack Obama leads Republican John McCain in 6 of 8, a key battleground state, one day before the U.S. election, including the big prize of Florida and Ohio, according to a series of Reuters Doug B. Pulse released on Monday. Alex Jones, your look at your crystal ball, and do you see any surprise, all these polls, going to Obama?
No, I don't. The incredible support that we're witnessing for Barack Obama in almost every poll with leads of 10%, many of them, the smallest only about 5%, show that people don't like the policies of George W. Bush. The problem is, and most pundits are predicting a very short honeymoon, including his running mate, Joe Biden, for Barack Obama, because he's going to come in, he wants more defense spending, he wants more wars, he wants to go into Afghanistan and expand things, Pakistan, he's for the warrantless, Fourth Amendment destroying, wiretapping, spying on the American people. He's gotten three times the Wall Street money that John McCain has gotten, four times the Goldman Sachs. So he's going to be put in tomorrow by the public's outrage and by a media that's been giving him most of the attention. It's clear that the establishment knows they've ridden their Republican pony as far as they can. They want a new, fresh horse, Barack Obama, to give them left cover, to pacify the left so he can move in, bring in a global carbon tax, acquiesce to the banks who are literally just looting the country of not $800 billion, but trillions of dollars, giving it to themselves in bonuses. Barack Obama is probably going to be elected tomorrow, but he's also going to be a huge disappointment for the American people. You have a lot of conservatives voting for him because they're so sick of George Bush, but you also have about 30% of the U.S. population saying, you know, that they're not totally decided, that they don't like either candidate. You have Congress with an 11% approval rating. Both parties are universally hated now at higher levels than we've ever had in history. And so what's going to happen is Barack Obama is going to come into office probably, 95% chance, I would say. All the polls show that. And then people are going to see that it's a different face, different rhetoric, a better speaker than George Bush, but that the global corporate institutions that control our executive branch are really in control. And so you're going to see a major crisis here in the United States as things intensify.
All right. You covered a lot of ground. We'll be talking about that, the choices American people have, whether or not the two are true agents for change, either Obama or McCain, no other choice, as facts speak for themselves. But New York Times goes, Obama is up, and fans fear that jinxes it. Well, let's go to Dr. Boyce for his speculation. Plus, do you see any of this jinx? Could be nothing other than the Bradley effect. Do you see the Bradley effect simply people not voting black on election day despite all the polling?
Well, certainly the Bradley effect is something which the Obama campaign are greatly fearing. This idea that people could be saying one thing to the pollsters and something else to themselves in private is certainly got to be fighting away at the heart of darkness at the Obama campaign. I think, however, that as your polls have revealed, there is enough of a gap between the two candidates at this point. There should be sufficient to see Barack Obama coast to victory tomorrow. Whether it will be the landslide, which some people have forecast, I think is unlikely. We will have to have to wait and see exactly what the figures emerge. But I think it's telling today that we see John McCain very much on the defensive in states that he should have sworn up months ago, and Barack Obama very much on the offensive, campaigning in those states which George Bush took relatively easily in 2004. We see John McCain traveling some 3,000 miles today to try to shore up his base, whereas Barack Obama appears to be taking it relatively easy, traveling just under, by all reckoning, some 700 miles, very much to try to energize the Democrats and get them out to vote.
Wayne, well, of course, we have McCain saying Obama is perhaps measuring the Drake to White House. Well, he should be, according to the polls. But do you see that Bradley effect, the race factor, changing all the polls come November the 4th that is hours away?
Yeah, I think Dr. Boyd has it exactly right. If this were a close race, if in fact Barack Obama were leading in the polls in the battleground states and nationally by 1 or 2 percentage points, then I think the potential of the Bradley effect, where people, as he said, might tell a pollster that they would vote for Barack Obama, but secretly when they actually go to vote, would not vote for an African American, then I think the Bradley effect might have an effect. But all indications are that even though this race is narrowing to some extent, and is expected to narrow in terms of the voter turnout, that the margin of victory by Barack Obama in the key battleground states especially, where he is expected to win by more than 2 or 3 or 4%, probably obviates the Bradley effect here. If that happens, if in fact some voters are going to not vote for him because he is black, there's no question about that. But if he's able to overcome that, it will be a rather remarkable moment in American politics. We had slavery in this country 140 years ago. That's when we abolished it. And now that we have an African American who could win the presidency of the United States, 140 years since the 15th Amendment was allowed the former slaves to vote, is an extraordinary moment. So while few Americans may vote against Barack Obama because he is black, the indications are that there is a phenomenon here which is bigger than that, and that it's likely, though I'm not going to predict absolutely, but likely to sweep him into office tomorrow.
All right, let's take a look at this C word of change. The post campaigns have been talking about change. Obama says the change we need, their change is not authentic. And, well, here is what he wrote. again in the Wall Street Journal. This is a defining...
SurvivalProperty.com. Longtime survivalist author Ragnar Benson wrote, "A survival retreat is a place you go to live, not die. It is a place out of the mainstream of events that contains the means to survive without outside support. A place where you find shelter, protection, food, water, medicine, and warmth you prepared for yourself. It is defensible and is put together with a realistic understanding of what the dangers will be." Ragnar Benson also said, "Why retreat? This is a question that 90% of our population cannot and will not answer. If they could, that same 90% would have to admit that things may not continue on as they are now. They would also have to admit that they will need a retreat, something completely impossible for the average American to do. Act now before it's too late. In order to find your new, high-security, self-sufficient, off-grid, beautiful retreat property, visit survivalproperty.com. That's survivalproperty.com.
Senator Barkley, I presume.
Governor Ventura, what are you doing down here?
Looking for a way out for me and all these taxpayers.
Are we where I think we are?
Yes, it appears we're at the bottom of a very deep hole.
Did we do something wrong?
Not us. It seems some schemers on Wall Street dug this hole, and we're down here to get them out of it.
I don't see too many investment bankers or insurance company executives down here. I don't see Al Franken here either.
Senator, I said we're down here with taxpayers. I don't see Norm Coleman down here either.
Well, since Norm Coleman became senator, the federal deficit went up $3 trillion. Governor, you and I know the first rule of getting out of a hole.
Stop digging. During my administration, we ran budget surpluses.
And we gave money back to taxpayers.
That's the kind of thinking we need in Washington.
Please go to SenatorBarkley.com to make a contribution and help take back our country. I'm Senator Dean Barkley, and I approve this message.
And so do I.
Paid for by Barkley for Senate.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do you like being a puppet, sir? Do you like being a puppet for the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was it engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
The day that we stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job? How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth, in 5 years we will be here on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Truth Rising. Download the film at PrisonPlanet.tv right now, or get the DVD at Infowars.com. It's now time to take the revolution to the next level.
Phase 1 of the insider's plan for a one-world government has been initiated with the recent bailout. International bankers and power brokers have engineered the current crisis to create a new currency and a new world bank to act as savior. But we've only seen the beginning. Their next engineered crisis will be on a scale never before seen in modern times. Shortages and empty shelves will spread fear and panic across the land. The insiders have discovered that they must control two things to seize total power. Phase 1 is a one-world currency, which we are currently being prepared to accept. Phase 2 of their insidious plan is complete control of our food supplies. Go to www.foodshortageusa.com for the details. That's www.foodshortageusa.com to learn how to prepare for the unthinkable. Don't wait for empty shelves. Learn how to make your own survival foods for pennies on the dollar. Go to foodshortageusa.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Looted from pillar to post by the transnational criminals. Joseph Stiglitz on CNBC yesterday called for a world government run by the banks. They are coming out against the people.
All right, let's see if James L. London agrees. Well, can I just add, as a political scientist, it's a real honor to be on the show with Wayne Slater tonight. But let me see if I can add some sort of political dimension to that from an international perspective. You're going to hear an awful lot over the next 24 hours and moving in through the interregnum until the inauguration about change. Change is what we've heard from Barack Obama, of course, over the last 22 months or so. But history will dictate that in every presidential election, whilst people talk heavily about change, what you get a great deal of is actually continuity. Any president coming into office
is going to be forced to continue a whole raft of issues. And what often changes is the rhetoric. Now, the rhetoric, as I'm sure many people realize, is important. The rhetoric of George Bush really put people's backs up here in Europe, in London, and his whole tone was very aggressive, and his demeanor was seen to be very much at odds with the European perspective. I think Obama, the change he will initiate will be one of tone and of an approach, a much more inclusive, multilateral, almost Clinton-esque, I think, approach to foreign policy, which will be much more in keeping with a European perspective. And as a result, I think, very much ease America's position in the rest of the world vis-a-vis the countries with which it is attempting to form alliances, both militarily and financial. Whoever becomes president has got a series of uphill challenges to face with. One could almost ask who would want to be president at this point. You've got the war in Iraq, war in Afghanistan, and a financial crisis, which is clearly going to dominate their time in office. So whatever the candidates promise or pledge on the campaign trail, they're really going to face an uphill struggle in just trying to manage on a day-to-day basis. And all these promises about spending and youth movements, I think, will take a secondary place once Obama, if he is installed in the White House, comes to pass.
All right, Wayne Slater, of course, you've been in the planes of both campaigns, but you have had the chance of being on the planes of the two only major campaigns. Now, we will be talking about the third parties as well, but this change, both are talking about the change. Any difference between the two? If, let's have a preview of the difference. We'll get into the details in the second half of the show. Wayne?
We have Wayne.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I thought you were going to break there. No, look, there's going to be a change. Now, it may not be the kind of change that Alex would anticipate, but there's going to be a change. There's a difference between Barack Obama, Democratic Party, this approach, and John McCain. And part of that change, as Alex said correctly, was this nation is sick and tired of George W. Bush, 8 years of the Bush administration, and by extension, the attitude that the rest of the world has about America. Americans don't like it that much of Europe, much of the rest of the world, doesn't particularly have use for us. That the preemption policies with respect to the war of the George Bush administration, the economic policies at home, which both Democrats and Republicans have shared to cause big problems, that all of that together has created an environment for significant change. You're going to see in a Barack, we'll talk, as you say, more specifically later, but we're going to see an approach in terms of an outreach to Europe and the rest of the world that is more robust than we have seen certainly under the Bush administration. But we're also, when we're going to see an effort to deal with the economic crisis in a way that is somewhat more sensitive to middle-income Americans, not simply the wealthy. At the same time, there's going to have to be a recognition that capital in the United States, which was part of the problem in terms of a few greedy operators, is going to have to be tended to. So there's going to be an element of continuity in the way that Barack Obama administration, if there is one, you know, runs the White House. But it's going to be different. It's approach internationally, its approach here in the United States. I should say that one area where it will be exactly the same, I think, is if, in fact, Barack Obama is challenged, and Iran is a perfect example of what some Republican conservatives and John McCain and Barack Obama's own running mate suggest could be an early challenge, a testing of this young president. In the event something like that happens, I don't think people ought to be fooled. This president would act pretty much like John McCain would act, George Bush would act, a traditional United States president would act, and that would be very strongly to protect the United States interests.
Of course, we have only just a few seconds left to the end of the first half, but something people haven't heard, over 20 parties, third parties, so-called third parties, running. But even Americans haven't heard the names of most of these. They do not know the candidates. When we come back, we'll discuss the third parties, why it's only blue and or red, and then the change on the list of both Barack Obama and his rival, John McCain. We'll be back in a short break.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water and is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Drinking a chlorophyll-rich beverage has been found to benefit your entire body. AlkaVision Green Shield Green Drink is a specifically formulated nutritional supplement which provides many nutritional elements that are missing from our modern diet. Green Shield helps neutralize acid in your body and maintains a healthy pH balance. And having the proper pH balance has been known to balance blood sugar levels, something we can all benefit from. Green Shield combines the perfect blend of powerful whole food vegetables, immune-boosting herbs and grasses. Green Shield does not contain algae, mushrooms, or fungi, has no preservatives, artificial colors, or flavors. The powder mixes easily with water and tastes great. Drinking Green Shield strengthens the immune system and boosts energy, relieves fatigue and stress without the use of stimulants. Order your AlkaVision Green Shield Green Drink now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com today. Or call 269-344-3420. That's 269-344-3420 today.
We're taking a look at all the controversy surrounding the election, how the world views the election. From London, we're joined by Dr. James Boyce, Assistant Professor of International Political Studies at Richmond, the American International University in London, and founder of the Resolute Group. From Austin, Texas, we're joined by Wayne Slater, author and senior political writer at Dallas Morning News, co-author of Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential. By the phone, from Austin, Texas, by Alex Jones, investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker, owner of InfoWars. com. Gentlemen, once again, our pleasure. But let's take a look at the websites of a few other parties called third parties in the U.S., Constitution Party, the Socialist Party USA, the Peace Freedom, Peace and Freedom Party, the Party of Principle against the Libertarian Party, the Green Party. And, of course, the Green Party says the real difference, talking about the real difference between Democrats, the Democrat and Republican Party. Do they represent your interests and values? The Democrats talk about the different policy positions and priorities would see from a Democrat in the White House versus a Republican. Most Democrat and Republican politicians, including Clinton, Gore, Kerry, and Bush, hold similar positions on major issues, and that's why we need a real choice to polls, a party that gives power to we the people instead of powerful corporations. Then the side brings up a list of different issues and say where they happen to be the same. It says issue, Green Party, Republicans, Democrats, and it talks about major issues like invasion and occupation of Iraq, where it says Green Party opposes, but Republicans and Democrats both support. And when you go to the details, it says even invasion of Iraq, most Democrats, if not Barack Obama. They supported that. They actually signed the authorization and also still support that, the Patriot Act, invasion of Afghanistan. These are what Republicans, Democrats are all the same. Kosovo war and military budget, Israeli occupation of West Bank and Gaza, global warming, reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, a right to choose, national health insurance. It goes on and on and on. Simply saying they're both the same. We've had Alex Jones already saying that, but Alex, back to you, if you have any more comments on whether or not Republicans are the same.
I have a lot of comments. At the end of the last segment, I was unable to finish what I was saying, so I'd like to finish that, but that dovetails, that connects in to your latest question. You know, both your guests are admitting that we're seeing continuity. You know, whether John McCain gets in or whether Barack Obama gets in, you're going to see continuity, and that's because the big multinational corporations, the globalists, who openly, own both the major parties, are in control of both of these men. And until the 1990s, you could get a third party in the debates. You could get other parties in the debates, and then the people could make a choice watching the presidential debates. That's why you had Ross Perot getting close to 30%. Since then, this private corporation, the Debate Commission, at the pressure from the Republican and Democrats, has closed the debates. And so we need to have larger debates. The first debate should have 5, 6, 7, 8 different candidates. They should be real debates, not just questions and answers. You have the mainstream media here in the United States gives almost no attention to third parties or alternative parties, especially if they have any clout. And so we have a constriction in the amount of choices the public has by the controlled corporate press, you know, that's owned by the same banks and bomb makers that own the two major parties. And so that's the issue we're dealing here with. And Barack Obama is only different from John McCain and George Bush cosmetically. And that's why Wall Street's giving him more money than anybody else, because they believe he can neutralize the left to support these wars. He's talked about needing to have conflicts with Russia. He came out against Russia with what happened in Georgia when Georgia, it's now admitted, and the State Department admits, snuck attack the Russian held area of Ossetia and Abkhazia. We have all of this going on, and we have Barack Obama no different from Bush when it comes to the banker takeover bill known as the bailout. So the point I'm making here is Congress has an 11% approval rating. Now, in fact, that was a few months ago. Now it's a 9% approval rating, the lowest in U.S. history. I go back to that point. I'd like to hear your guests speak to this. The reason they have the lowest approval rating in history in the United States is because the people have figured out that both parties are controlled by the same interest.
All right.
They just hate George Bush so much that they're giving Barack Obama a chance. And I'm telling you, go ahead.
Let's put the question across to Wayne Slater. Wayne, of course, the only body less popular than the president right now in the U.S. happens to be the Congress. So does that mean that the Americans are right now aware of the fact that Democrats and Republicans, as Alex suggests, well, simply are no different and they're not the ones they want in office?
That's part of it. I think that there are not distinct differences between the party. Both candidates tend to, in this great race, that's going to run towards the center. But instead of being a recognition, as Alex suggests, by the American public that they're owned by corporations or the corporate global elite, I think it's more the fact that Americans are simply not happy with their political institutions at all because they didn't do anything. They basically have become more polarized. The institutions of government, the way we elect people, the shape of our districts producing different candidates and different office holders, and the rest of it has invited a kind of polarized gridlock, deadlock in places like Washington, where you have, certainly under George W. Bush, a polarized environment where very little gets done. There's not a sense of compromise. There's a sense of my way or the highway. And for normal Americans who are looking at their savings at home or looking whether they can pay their mortgage or they want to send their kids to college, and they watch these guys up in Washington, whether it's in the White House or in Congress, simply having such difficulty solving problems, that, I think, is more than anything else what has contributed to the lowest approval rating.
Let us also take a look at the so-called third party. Why is it just blue and red? How would you explain the electoral college, that people voting November the 4th, but the real votes for president cast on December 15th when 538 people decided at the end of the day, Canadian press goes off to Electoral College to tell Americans choose a new president. Current.com goes, Electoral College, our ballots should matter more. Forbes goes, the Electoral College, why Obama and McCain probably don't care about you, that means the voters. And the we have another headline, popular vote versus Electoral College. This, of course, back in 2000 was quite notorious. So the electoral system in the U.S., is that really democratic?
I would like to comment. Go ahead.
I'll get back to you, Alex. Let's have Wayne in this, and then I'll get back.
Very, very briefly, it is democratic in a sort of small way, but you're right. Institutionally, it works against the interests of a truly vigorous, different approach, which a third-party candidate has to do. And as Alex said, the most recent example of a vigorous third-party challenge, Ross Perot, happened because he was offering something truly different from the other two.
Yeah.
We saw Teddy Roosevelt a century ago who was offering something really different. In neither case did they win. But the institutions, I think Alex is right, the institutions, the mechanisms of the way we do it, including the Electoral College, which has been with us for a long time, does militate against the advantage of a third, more inventive, vigorous, interested, and different approach to our governance.
All right, now a challenge for Alex to hold aside just a few seconds while they go to London. Dr. Boyce, I'd like to have your take on the democratic nature of U.S. electoral system.
Thanks very much. I'd like to come back, actually, to what Alex was saying, because I think there is a popular misunderstanding about the American political system. We talk about two parties, but I think you can make a very valiant claim that there are actually 50 parties, because the national party system in the United States is very, very different than it is here in England, for example. People are much more powerful at a local state level, which allows someone like Barack Obama to come forward and to defeat the candidate of choice for the party, which would have been Hillary Clinton, for example. I'd also pull issue with this idea that third parties are not important in American politics. As Wayne rightly points out, we can think about the progressive movement, the Bull Moose Party of Theodore Roosevelt in the 20s. We can come forward to think about the Dixiecrats in the 40s. Alex talked about this idea that only until the 1990s could you have a party of a third party coming through to challenge. But Ross Perot, of course, actually challenged in the 1990s. And if Alex is worried about the influence of big money in American politics, well, the only reason that Ross Perot was able to stage his remarkable third party success, in which he achieved 19% of the electoral popular vote in 1992, was because he was a billionaire. So if Alex is worried about big money in America, I think Ross Perot is an interesting and perhaps contradictory choice to hold up as an example.
No, let me counter that. What I'm saying, that's a misrepresentation. I was talking about the last time there was a true, strong third-party challenge. I wasn't discussing Ross Perot's money or how Ross Perot got into that position. I was talking about the attempts since then to further freeze third-party candidates and parties out of the larger discussion and out of the media and a circling of the wagons by the two-party dictatorship that we have in this country. Now, let me just be clear here. The American people, it isn't that nothing's being done in Washington. Thousands of pieces of legislation are being passed, okay, at the state and federal level. The people are frustrated because 91% in every major Gallup poll want to control the border. Both parties say no because the corporations want cheap labor and to drive down the wages. The American people, 75% or higher, don't want these wars, but both parties are still for it and still push it. On issue after issue, the Congress only has a 9% approval rating because the people understand that special interests are in control of the process more and more. They've always been there, but more and more, that's happening. So that's why this country's moving towards revolution. That's why the Army Times reported they have NORTHCOM, regular Army brigades, pull it up for yourself on Google, ready to, quote, deal with American insurrection. Because the American people understand that both parties are controlled. And you're right, they're hoping Barack Obama will do something different. They're hoping that it's all just rhetoric, that he's basically going to be lockstep with what George Bush did, because George Bush was lockstep with what the last president did, because it's a military-industrial complex that is using America as the engine of world government and the engine of empire for the Anglo-American establishment. So that's what we're dealing with here. And so instead of just talking about the horse race of Barack Obama and, of course, John McCain, the supposed maverick, I'm pointing out that it's like a Don King boxing match where he owns both the fighters. Or it's like a horse race where all 10 of the horses are owned by the same person. They're going to end up winning. I'm saying our system fundamentally is breaking down and is corrupt, and we need gridlock in Congress. By the way, on the subject of the Electoral College, I'm all for it. Why am I for it? Our senators, until the 17th Amendment in 1913, were appointed by the state. They were appointed by the legislatures because the senators were creatures of the state, so you couldn't have an all-powerful federal dictatorship. And so now our popular vote is counted at the state level, and then it goes up for the number of electoral votes that that state has representing its congressional districts. And then, and they've never gone against this, the Congress then goes with the popular vote. So it's the same system of state power, and that's what we're dealing with here, and that's why I am against a, quote, popular vote, because that allows more federalization and more control. Imagine if our senators were still creatures of the state. The states are being turned into vassals of the feds. This is empire, and we need to turn this around. We need to turn this around today.
All right. No, Alex, we need to move on to a very important issue. AP goes, the world closely watching U.S. presidential election, and op-ed news is if the world could vote in the U.S. election. And, of course, many believe Obama's international experience would go a long way in helping repair damage caused by the unpopular U.S.-led wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, with recent opinion polls from more than 70 nations favoring him, a resounding 3-1 over Republican John McCain. So, Wayne Slater, what's it say for the world, 3 foot broad?
Basically, I have to tell you that many American voters, if they knew that the rest of the world wanted Barack Obama, it would not be a positive for Barack Obama. On the other hand, there is a general sense, and I think Barack Obama is going to pull the troops out of Iraq. I think he's going to reposition some troops into Afghanistan, as he promised.
And Pakistan.
And there is going to be a very active effort to reach out to the rest of the world in a way the Bush administration has not done. This is going to be a change, a difference. Now, maybe some critics don't think that's enough, but this administration is going to do that. I have a great confidence.
We'll see.
Barack Obama is elected tomorrow. You're going to see a different America in terms of its relationship with the rest of the country, including the Middle East.
Wayne, let me ask you this then real fast. Why then is Joe Biden and others saying get ready for him to do something internationally? What is this crisis? You know, you're kind of an insider of the Democratic Party. I mean, you've been flying around with Obama. All these leaders, including in Europe, have said a major crisis on the 21st and 22nd of January when he is inaugurated. Colin Powell said it on Meet the Press. Can you please enlighten us and tell us what this major international crisis is going to be that Joe Biden says his running mate is going to be very unpopular with the left? Sounds like going into Pakistan to me.
Wayne?
That's entirely possible. Pakistan is a more aggressive approach to Pakistan as a possibility. What Biden said was that the new president, whoever it was, would be challenged, would be tested, especially if it's a new president like Barack Obama. I don't know what it's going to be, Alex. It's going to be something. Somebody's going to rattle their saber somewhere. But I do think that most forces, whether they're in the Middle East or elsewhere, whether North Korea, understand that there is a continuity, whether you like it or not, in the United States.
No, I know.
And any challenge of this president, whoever it is going to be met by this government. Absent that, we're going to see a different approach and attitude by a Barack Obama administration to its dealings with the rest of the world, a willingness to...
I agree. It's going to be a velvet glove, and that's why the corporations want him, because he can sell the world on accepting a couple more wars.
Yeah, but let's have Dr. Boyce and Dr. Boyce from so many, actually. Let's talk about continents right now, of course, the Middle East as well. Let's talk about transatlantic relations. Let's talk about Latin America. Let's talk about the Middle East, Iraq and Afghanistan, of course, briefly but broadly. The difference.
Well, I think it's interesting that the article that you initially referenced talked about Barack Obama's international experience. I would have thought that if Barack Obama had a weakness, it was his lack of an international experience. I do hope the paper wasn't referring to his brief but glorious European tour, which saw him come to London and Berlin earlier in the summer.
The new German Führer.
No sort of experience to base upon whatsoever. John McCain arguably has a far greater international experience in dealing with the press and with the international leaders. So I think that's a little bit of a misnomer on that account. In terms of how he's going to deal with things, as I said earlier on, Tony's going to have an awful lot to do with this. I think he will be more prepared to take an aggressive stance with Pakistan and their perhaps inability.
Does that mean a new war?
Does it mean a new war? No, I don't think it means a new war. I think it means taking on a slightly different approach with regard to Pakistan. I think what Obama will do will be to shift quite rightly the focus away from Iraq towards the battlefront in Afghanistan and to hopefully try and alleviate the pressure which is on the British troop contingent in that part of the world.
But only on the surface. They're going to stay in Iraq. They're going to leave at least 50,000 troops there and bring in more.
That's the question. Dr. Boies, how about Iraq? Do you see just residual forces left in Iraq according to Barack Obama? What does he mean by that? 50,000, 60,000 and permanent bases?
I mean, you know, I'm not an insider of the Pentagon. I can't comment upon exactly what figure's going to be there. I'd agree with that.
You know, as a father and a husband, one of the enjoyable things in my life has been walking in at night and checking on my children, checking up on my wife, making sure she has the things she needs, but mostly providing for my family and knowing that they're secure, that they feel comfortable every day in their little skins. They don't have to worry about the oddities of the world taking over and wrecking their lives. I've always wanted to be a good provider, and I'm not going to change that now just because the economy's in upheaval and because there's a lot of political and social uncertainty, and I hear about global famine, and I see the escalating prices in gas and food and oil. Electricity is going to go way up, I'm told, this winter. Hey, I'm not going to sweat it. I've done the right thing. I got rid of a bunch of junk and toys out in the garage. I converted that money into food. That food's out there. I've got a 2 or 3 year supply of food in the garage. My family's secure. I don't got to worry, okay? I do hope that you'll join me in this new sense of American security. Call eFoodsDirect.com. That's eFoodsDirect.com. Or 1-800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. Call them today. You'll be glad you did.
Our beloved republic is on her knees. The forces of globalism are destroying national sovereignty worldwide. But in liberty's darkest hour, there is hope. For the first time in modern history, the people are beginning to wake up. It is essential that patriots worldwide accelerate their fellow man's understanding of the New World Order Master Plan. We have a short time frame to fully awaken and energize the people to meet this threat. In the info war, PrisonPlanet.tv is a powerful weapon in the battle to regain our freedom. PrisonPlanet.tv is a vault of forbidden information. All 18 of my documentary films can be downloaded or streamed in super high quality directly to your computer or iPhone and shared with others. Thousands of special video reports, from tainted vaccines to martial law, can be found in this online video library. My weekly news television broadcast, thousands of exclusive audio interviews, and so much more. The InfoWar is waiting for you to set it free. Join PrisonPlanet.tv. Burn the info bombs to disk. Put them on the file sharing networks. Bring down the New World Order. PrisonPlanet.tv.
Would you like to know how you can use water as fuel and laugh at the rising price of gas? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has the information you need to learn about the newest hydrogen technology available. GasFreedom is an affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns efficiently and provides the energy your car needs. In just 10 minutes, you'll discover exactly how this is possible. This is the secret the oil companies don't want you to know. Learn how easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car and experience the most powerful hydrogen cells available. Visit gasfreedom.info and receive $59.95 off of your order by using coupon code GCN. Turn any car into a hybrid and laugh all the way to the bank. Visit gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. Call today.
Administration.
Good cop, bad cop.
And with respect to going actively against war, the American people have no appetite for an active military expedition now after this debacle in Iraq. This administration will be governed by an American attitude in terms of the public that will really be designed in engaging the rest of the world in a positive, at least in a communicative way.
Corporate PR.
I think that's going to be instinct is what we're going to see.
All right, that's pretty much the time we had for another edition of Fine Frequency, a very special 1 hour before November 4th, U.S. presidential election, what's at stake for the U.S. and the world. We'll have a special coverage of that. And from London, we're joined by Dr. James Boyce, Assistant Professor of International Political Studies, Richmond, the American International University in London, and founder of the Resolute Group from Austin, Texas, by Wayne Slater, author and senior political writer at Dallas Morning News, co-author of Bush's Brain, How Karl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential. He's also been in the planes of both campaigns over the past few weeks. By the phone from Austin, Texas, again, by Alex Jones, investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker, and owner of Infowars.com. Gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy talking to you.
Steve and our viewers, always watch out for the fine print right here on Press TV with me. I'm here.
Alex?
Yes.
Thank you. You are so perfect, gentlemen. I wish to have you in our shows on Wednesday. I'm going to talk with you again. Thank you. And
okay.
Have a very great time. Enjoy your stuff. And you were really perfect, gentlemen. Thank you.
God bless. Sorry I got so fired up. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
You. Bye-bye.
Sir. All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. We're back on Genesis. John Harmon, that all go-go for the last 50 minutes? Come up on air. Tell us what you thought of that.
It was quite interesting to be on, international.
I'm on Russian, I'm on British, I'm on Japanese, every week now, pretty much, and a lot of these things, they have me on by phone, so that's good. They're driving me down to the studios all the time. But I found the Iranians are just incredibly fair to the United States. I mean, people think of Iranian TV as just America bashing. It's usually 2-1 against me. Well, not usually, it always is, where there's like pro, nuke Iran stuff, with the U.S. people, even on their own shows.
Oh, yeah, they think all foreigners are, terrorists and whatnot.
Iran even puts on the American View, and so it's not fair and balanced. They give the Western BS view 2/3 of the time.
That's completely true, yeah.
So, but then meanwhile, our Fox TV or CNN's like watching Looney Tunes or something. It's so biased and so full of lies. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad we could do that simulcast here on the Genesis Network, our AM and FM affiliates, Global Shortwave, Satellite, the Internet, and the rest of it. If you're listening at Infowars.com or watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, you would have been able to see and hear the entire transmission. By tonight, they'll also have one of their top news shows worldwide and in Iran will be up there in their archive. It'll just be in the programs. Click on the fine print, and you can go and watch the video. Of course, you can see it at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're piping it in, but you can also watch it there with their feed without cutting into my video feed here in the studio. But great technology. We thank God for it. It's really hurting the New World Order. That's why they're trying to shut it down. I'm in Austin. Genesis is up in Minnesota. They're in London and Tehran, and you heard that all Nexus in. They were dialed in to London. They were dialed into Austin. They were dialed in all over. That is definitely very, very interesting. Listen. We are going to have 4 hours of election coverage and your phone calls tomorrow. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we'll cover election fraud, whatever happens. I hope there's no rioting or problems, but we'll keep following this. The point is, Barack Obama is a puppet and nothing's going to change but the rhetoric. They play good cop, bad cop. It'll be all the same policies, a different rhetoric. And so we'll see what happens. The torture, the secret arrest. The Military Commissions Act, the John Warren Defense Authorization Act, the End of Posse Comitatus, the Patriot Acts. You're not going to see any of that repealed, despite the fact that they're going to have the House, the Senate, and the Executive. Now, that's the point. God bless you all. Rebroadcast starts in 1 minute at Infowars.com on the streams and at the podcast, downloaded by millions every week. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.